Let's get over Alan Pollack. Alan, good to have you here with an update on the tech world. What's happening, friend?
Good to be here. David, I don't have much today because of the eclipse. Somebody suggested that I make it short so I don't cause any harm with the full moon and however long of darkness we will have. It's crazy how many people have traveled around the country, like going to Indiana and other places just to see the totality of it. But anyways, here is what I wanted to suggest. Two quick things. One is Maxwell just put out what they call their mortgage lending report of 2023. It's a free download. I did download it, took a look at it. So if you're interested in what they're seeing, and remember, Maxwell's a lot more than a point of sale. So they've got a lot of data and a lot of folks that they are able to talk to. So check it out. You can go online and download it. David, another topic like Alice talked about was the cybersecurity and not sharing your password. That probably would be the best tip anyone could ever pass along. But more importantly, people have to remember that even personally, your bank will never call you and ask to confirm information. Your bank will never send you a text message with a link to confirm information. So you need to be very careful. Now, I know it's confusing, like Verizon Wireless, as an example, sends you a link to log into your account and you click it and you have to log in. That could be, things like that could be confusing, but you just need to be careful that you're just logging into something and that it is a legitimate location you're going to. And if you're not sure, don't do it. Pick up the phone and call that company. Don't call them the phone number or the link you may get in your phone. Search the internet and find the right customer service number or the right place to call. Another quick tip, and I'll just leave it at this one, is that if someone calls you and they say, hey, is this Mr. David Licken? And you say, yes, this is David. They can take that and record it. So just be mindful of what you're saying on the phone as well if you're not sure who the recipient is. And there's so much more that goes with it. We're going to continue to see more in the cybersecurity side. It's not going to get easier. It's only going to become more difficult. And when we're dealing with borrowers and we're dealing with important financial transactions, it's very important to remind them of what their expectations should be and remind them of these things. Actually, I don't know, Alice, if you have this at Union Home, but if you're a lender listening and you're part of the marketing team or the cybersecurity team or anyone that has the ability to put a marketing component together, you may want to think of a piece of paper that can be printed out at everybody's desk. Five guidelines, right? What to do and who to call and to continuously look out for it. So let's move over to some positive things, but we'll continue to talk more about that. David, today I want to talk, there was a really interesting question that somebody sent over to me, the difference between a CIO and a CTO. And it depends on the organization that you work for, but I just want to talk about that for a quick moment. If you're a lender, a bank, a credit union, especially if you're a depository, it is so important that you have a CIO and what's called a CSO. So let's talk about what they are for a quick moment. A CIO is a chief information officer, and a CSO is a chief security officer. These folks are extremely important. They can sometimes be wrapped up just into one, which is a CIO, but they're in charge of your data. They're in charge of your infrastructure. They're in charge of access control, internal training. They're in charge of your machines. Now, they may have multiple levels underneath them. You may outsource some of that. You may have a service that puts bots on your computer that monitors the disk encryption, as well as looking for malware and viruses and all those things. But that CIO, in simplest terms, is critical to manage the security and the effectiveness of your computers, your network, and your data. Now, remember, you didn't choose as a lender to be a technology company, but you have to be to some degree. A CTO, that's somebody that's in charge of, let's call them engineering projects, somebody that's in charge of putting technology together, someone that may be in charge of organizing your own database and the workflow. They'll work hand in hand with your CIO. If you're building some of your own integrations, you'll want to have a CTO or an SVP of technology. Those are the folks that'll be in charge of those components. They'll have the engineering team, they'll work with the CIO to follow security practices. That CTO ultimately will be responsible for making sure that you're building sound engineering products. And if you have both of those roles, a CIO and a CTO, you want to engage both of them with your vendors, with your vendor oversight, with making sure that your vendors have released code that if it interacts with other vendors or any of your systems, that it follows certain procedures and you have ways to test it. They're two critical components of your executive or your management team. Without getting into too many details, that should be a quick high level for you. If you have any questions, you know how to get a hold of me. It is Alan, A-L-E-N, at tms-advisors.com. And open to some great discussion from this group, David.
Good. Yeah, I wanted to ask, I want to talk about mortgage data security in just a minute, but I'm on Maxwell's website. I'm under resources. Is that where we would find that information? Doesn't look like there's anything been released recently that you're referencing. I want to make sure I'm put a link to it.
No, not referencing anything specific. The only one was Maxwell, which they just put their 23 report out. But overall, and by the way, Humda Data came out about 2 weeks ago as well. I don't know if I mentioned that. You just reminded me by saying release. So if you're anyone that typically downloads or likes to review Humda data, you definitely can get access to that now too.
Yeah. Good. Alice, the value of accessing Humda data, is that something that you find people are doing with any amount of regularity? It seems, other than attorneys trying to sue us.
It is extremely valuable to download it, to be able to manipulate, especially if you're a larger company and you want to do your own analytics. I will usually wait until the full summary report is published, which is still probably a couple months out. That makes it easier for us lay people who won't be taking the data and downloading it ourselves to really take a look at what the CFPB's perception of the federal data is telling us. Alan's correct. The raw data is available if you want to start working with it now, and we'll report back in when the summary information is provided.
Yeah, that'll be really good. Very good. Alan, good report. Thank you so much for being here. And we're going to probably wrap this up a little earlier, faster than normal, so we can go out and enjoy the eclipse that is well underway here as we're recording this right now. But before we wrap it up, let's get over to you, Mark, on any perspective or what you've heard. One of the things that I want to talk about, Mark, what I'm hearing about more and more about the people that are selling servicing, contemplating selling servicing, there's quite a bit of more and more needing to sell the servicing. But for those that do not, what are your thoughts about holding servicing? Again, for those that are losing money, bleeding out because they have not cut their overhead sufficiently, they want to maintain overhead. I understand it. I get it. I've got one particular client of mine who's very much going through this as a battle. Part of their ownership structure wants to sell the servicing, the other part doesn't. If you do not have to, your thoughts.
David, I have some pretty solid thoughts on that. I understand that people get in hard economic times and have to sell servicing. And it's not necessarily a bad time to sell because there are good prices on servicing. Why? Because interest rates are so low and prepayment speeds are slower and they'll be around for a while. It's no secret to anyone on the phone that over the past 5 years or so, 4 years at least, we've originated some of the most stable servicing in the market because the rates are so low, nobody can go anywhere to refi. So basically, you're going to lose things for prepayment when people sell a property or whatnot. And the assumption on government loans is doing quite well, even on that, where people got the money to go in and buy homes and don't want to get rid of that low government rate. It's on the first mortgage that's there. So that's happening. But I highly suggest if you do not need to get rid of servicing, this is a time to retain because the lifetime on the servicing is going to be so much longer than anything we've had in the last two decades. And I think it's a gift that keeps on giving every month. And with that low interest rate, we have lower delinquency. So you have lower servicing costs than the new stuff that's coming in with the higher interest rates. And you got low prepayments. This is all the reasons in the world to keep it and keep using that profit. But if you want to sell, you can get a good price out of it. So I certainly understand that. And I certainly understand the needs for it. But I recommend if you don't need the money, don't sell.
Okay, hold on to this. What about the probability of retaining servicing moving forward? We're under such tight margins. Again, what are you seeing from people that you're talking to on actually retaining the servicing or the loans that are being originated today?
There's got to be somebody buy servicing. So even if you originate it and you don't want it, you got to find somebody to buy it. I think the markets will get tighter on this as far as the price that's paid, mainly cause the potential for massive refi if the rate drops a couple points somewhere in the future, which it might. We've seen that happen before when there was really no justification for it. We could see it again. So that's something I think everybody needs to be concerned about. I'm a little bit worried about supply and demand right now. I think there's a lot of people originating the new servicing and knowing that it could run off on them later on down the road and they'd like to sell it. But I think the newer servicing is a hard buy-in because the buyers have the same concern about the sellers do. There's a real line drawn between the new servicing and the old servicing with the cheaper rates on it. I think we might overuse the market, especially because of the position the big banks have taken. It's harder to get financing for MSR portfolios than it's ever been in the country. And you got certainly people, Chase's pushback on things, Bank of America's pushback on things, buying mortgage loans, and especially in the wholesale and correspondent channels. And they never were to go to people on servicing in the last 5 or 6 years, but I don't think you can see it a go-to on that at all. Jamie Dimon, I think sometimes would just like to get out of the mortgage business, period. He's been pretty vocal about that. So we'll see what happens with it. But I think it's a time to be cautious, but you got to do what's right for your company, and every company's situation is a little bit different. So I suggest people have a long conversation with a broker selling it and buying it to get a good idea of what the market delivery would be like and how they would benefit from it and make a wise decision on whether they need to do it or not. But I know some folks are going to be pushed because of financial statements to have real cash rather than MSR value on their books. So I know people might have to deal with it even on the new loans because of that.
Mark, you have a software that helps. If you have to sell or if you're contemplating selling, you have a software that helps calculate the type of servicing that you may want to, what you may want to hold and what you might want to sell. Talk briefly about that.
I got a piece of software developed that's got 17 characteristics to it. I probably won't go into all the secret sauce, but it's all the key elements, many of which folks on the phone haven't even thought about, but I have because of 46 years predominantly in the servicing side of the business or operations side of the business, thought of it and monitored into some portfolios as large as Washington Mutual and portfolios as large as a boutique FHA and VA lender out of Cupertino, California. It had 3,000 loans. And it basically takes not just the standard things we talked about, interest rates and whatnot. It also takes in where the property is located, possibilities of litigation, foreclosure timeframes, whether it's escrowed or not. It just goes on and on. And I've got about 17 characteristics I look at. Not all of them are applicable on every loan, but usually we have about 11, 12, 13 characteristics that are applicable. And we can help people decide. And you got to make this decision up front, okay? Because you got to make this soon after you originate it, because once you put it in a pool, in many cases, it can be restricted and have to stay in that pool, especially on Ginnie Mae. What you need to do is make a decision. Is this a loan I want to sell into the market or to somebody else servicing release, or do I want to keep in my portfolio? So the earlier you run that analytics, I'll be glad to talk to anybody about it. And once they talk to me about it, it's a good system. It's proven itself. And I think it's the best of my knowledge, the only very detailed system tried and proven to help people keep the right kind of loans that give the longest value to the company and their portfolio.
Good stuff. I want to make sure people are aware of that. And how can people reach you, Mark?
The best way to reach me is at the TMS email or my current email at mark@reverseamerica.com. I'm on an assignment now for the foreseeable future, being a contract president and CEO of a company. So I'm out of the consulting, but my people can certainly take care of you on this. And I'll be involved to hand you off to them to make sure you get the right kind of treatment you want if you're interested in that product.
I know you got your hands full of what you're doing right now. Grateful that you take time to join us every week, Mark. Appreciate it so much.
Wouldn't miss it, David.
I appreciate you, man. Listeners, it's so good to have you here. This is the end of our weekly mortgage update. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors and our contributors, of course, that make this possible every week. Byte Software, Finastra, Lender Homepage, Truve, Angel AI, Mortgage Bankers Association of America, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Mobility MMI, Modix, and Knowledge Coop. Appreciate you being here, everybody. By the way, we're adding a new sponsor, Candid. Check out Candid CRM, Candid, powerful tool, and we'll talk more about that in future podcasts. Good to have you here, everyone. Have a great week, and look forward to having you back here next week.